The Anton Savage Show
with Kearies.ie
on News Talk.
What President Higgins had to say was extraordinarily inappropriate, completely inaccurate, and it's the first occasion in my political life over many years I've seen a president basically abuse an ambassador of another country. He accused the Israeli ambassador, as reported in the Irish Examiner, of abusing the Jewish community and misrepresenting them and doing it for public relations reasons to distract from the conflict in Gaza. I know the Israeli ambassador. She's a very decent, good person. Anything she's had to say about this issue is absolutely accurate. And what's extraordinary about the president's intervention is I know that he's been briefed by members of the Jewish community about the community's concerns about escalating
anti-Semitism. But is what he's not saying, is he not effectively saying, look, there is a difference between, I mean, the classical argument, there is a difference between dislike of Israeli foreign policy and military action and dislike of Jewish people, and that there is no evidence of the latter in Ireland?
No, that's not what he said. But firstly, criticism of Israel as such isn't anti-Semitic. You can criticise Israel as well as you can criticise any other country, though some of the narrative that's now in circulation goes way beyond normal criticism of country. And we may come back to that. But on this very specific issue, there has been an enormous escalation in anti-Semitic, not simply anti-Israeli, comment in the last number of months.
As measured how, Alan?
Well, let me tell you, I'm a member of the community. I know there are members of the Dublin Jewish community who fear heading into town in Dublin on a day that people are marching in pro-Palestinian marches because of the nature of the narrative. The narrative is globalise the intifada. Now, some people don't know what that means. Globalise the intifada means kill Jews globally. It's a very straightforward chant that has been now adopted, taken up across all political parties and the opposition side. It's adopted.
But is that an inference beyond the reality? I'm sure there were people who were listening and saying, no. We've seen the pro-Palestinian, pro-peace marches, and nothing in that suggests that the Intifada should be brought beyond the border.
No. The chant is globalise the Intifada. The other chant is from the river to the sea, let Palestine be free. These are comments that are well understood globally and within the Jewish community. From the river to the sea basically is eradicate Israel and let it be replaced by a Palestinian state. That is synonymous with eradicating 7.2 million Jewish people in Israel and possibly the 2 million who aren't Jewish. Now we have to go past the glossy slogan and understand what the glossy slogan means. This has contaminated university life. I visited UCD the other day, a small group of students, six or seven, in an encampment which had between 80 to 100 tents, presenting as if it had greater support than it had. Outside it, it had a big poster, globalise the intifada. It had crush Zionism. Now, most Jewish people are Zionists. Zionism has become a curse word. There's no difference between Zionism and Irish nationalism. Zionism means that I believe the Jewish people have a right to self-determination in their homeland, just as I believe Irish people have a right to self-determination in Ireland.
So do you therefore believe that our president is privy to and aware of the matters that you are describing and is willfully ignoring them in his public statements, or that he doesn't know what he's saying?
It could well be a mixture of both, in the sense that I believe he has been briefed. He knows his concerns within the Jewish community. He knows that there are Jewish people who are wondering if this continues to escalate, should they continue living in Ireland? If anyone wanted to spend 10 or 15 minutes, for example, looking through my Twitter account, people are absolutely entitled to criticise things I put on Twitter. But about a half to maybe two-thirds of the commentary is just vitriolic, anti-Semitic abuse.
But again, to devil's advocate, people will say that Twitter is now, and largely for quite some time, has been a cesspit. Twitter is not reflective of the reality of walking through the centre of Dublin City of a weekend morning. Are you genuinely suggesting that the experience of being Jewish in Ireland is so radically different in the last number of months that people feel the need to leave the country?
No, what I'm saying is there's a fear because of the narrative and the narrative that's contaminated a section of Irish society. I know from the reactions that I'm getting from fantastic, wonderful people that the vast majority of Irish people reject this narrative. The vast majority of Irish people are appalled by it. I can't, in recent weeks, literally go anywhere. I can't go shopping without people who live in my old constituency, for example, who I don't personally know, coming up to me, making supportive comments, making critical comments, frankly, of the government's approach to this issue, making critical comments of the way students have been behaving. I haven't been looking for those comments. I'm not tapping people on the shoulder. So the vast majority of Irish people are decent. They disagree with this. They don't like it. But there's a minority who are very vocal, who get a lot of media coverage, who stick to a particular narrative, who demonstrate practically on a weekly basis, and
let me ask you, fear. Is it possible to thread the needle of criticism of and reprehension for the killing of 10, 12, 15,000 children, 20, 30,000 civilians in Gaza without crossing the line into an attack on Zionism, into what would be perceived as an attack on the Jewish people?
Well, firstly, the statistics you're giving aren't accurate, but we'll come back to that. Look, of course you can criticise the Israeli government if you believe they're doing things that are wrong. The problem with much of the narrative in Ireland, right across the political divide, and this goes from the extremism on the opposition side into the narrative that the government have now opportunistically adopted because they think it's electorally advantageous for the European and local elections. The difficulty with the narrative is the facts that are deliberately omitted about the complexity of this conflict, the facts that are omitted about the difficulties of fighting an urban war against a terrorist organisation that uses civilians as human shields, that has tunnels hidden under civilian structures all the way from mosques to hospitals to residential structures to UN facilities, the difficulties of fighting a war against a group of terrorists who fire rockets adjacent to hospitals, terrorists emerge out of hospitals. These are enormous difficulties, and there's a very specific problem here. Every single civilian casualty, be it an Israeli casualty, be it a Palestinian casualty, is a tragedy. And this war would never have happened without Hamas attacking Israel on the 7th of October. But for Hamas, every civilian death is strategy. They have deliberately created a scenario where either the Israelis defend themselves and there's inevitably going to be civilian deaths, or the Israelis sit back, allow them to carry out further atrocities,
what numbers
and continue
do you,
to fire rockets at Israel.
You queried the numbers that I used, which are UN-derived. What numbers do you use for children's deaths and civilian deaths in Gaza?
Well, the UN firstly recently revised the figures because the UN and the World Health Organization have relied on figures produced by the Hamas Health Authority, which is a terrorist propaganda organization. The Israelis claim that they've killed between 13 to 14,000 terrorists. I don't know, is that accurate? None of us can know for sure, is that accurate?
But what do you believe for children and for civilians?
And the figures that were recently revised established that in total there are in the region of 24,000 deaths in Gaza. There was 10,000 additional ones claimed. No one can identify who the people are. The reportage of these apparently derived from all sorts of unconfirmed sources. But look, I hate...
Well, what
this.
Do you believe, Adam?
No, but I hate this figure thing. The death of a single child is appalling. The death of a single innocent civilian is appalling.
Yes, but there is a quantum. There is a point at which people begin to say we can understand, albeit that you can use the argument that a single death is unacceptable. The reality is that when deaths become hundreds, when they become thousands, when they become tens of thousands, when they become 24,000, if that's the number that you... That becomes the point where the entire world looks at it and says, this is an atrocity beyond countenancing.
Well, you see, this is a war. There's an urban war going on. And what is never reported in Ireland, everyone might recall that 1,200 Israelis were slaughtered on the 7th of October. They just might remember that 3,000 rockets that day were fired at Israel. And some people might remember that there's still over 100 hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. And I'm going to come back to answer your question in a moment, but one point worth making is this conflict would have finished months ago, would finish today, tomorrow morning, if Hamas did three simple things: released all the hostages, did what the IRA did, announced that they're putting down their weapons, that the war is over, and announced that they no longer are committed to the genocidal elimination of the Israeli state. They're agreed to a two-state solution, and let's get on with trying to implement that. That isn't what's happening. Now,
but we're still faced with 24,000 dead people by your numbers. We're still faced, by logical inference, what, 8, 10,000 by your numbers of dead children? There has to come up...
Dead civilians. I don't know, are they dead children? Look, where I was going to travel to was the following. What isn't reported in Ireland, what I suspect, with all due respects, you don't know, is that throughout this conflict, rockets have continued to be fired at Israel. 3,000 on October the 6th, as we're sitting here, over 16,000 rockets have been fired at Israel. In the last week, rockets continued to be fired out of Rafah at Israel. The reason Israel has so few casualties within their civilians is because they have bomb shelters that Israeli civilians can shelter in. The reason there are terrible, terrible, tragic civilian deaths in Gaza is because despite Hamas having hundreds of kilometres of tunnels, they don't permit any civilians to enter in them for their own protection when the Israelis are targeting terrorists.
So I want to move on to talk about the recognition of the state of Palestine, but let me ask you one question finally on this. Do you believe that it is possible, or that it could be possible, or could have been possible, for Israel to prosecute a military response to the atrocity of October 7th in a way that was more cognizant of the impact on the civilian population and caused less harm?
Based on what's known about all wars fought, all past wars fought, again, saying that the death of any civilian is a tragedy and horrendous, the number of civilian deaths in these extraordinary circumstances is unusually small. And what is Israel supposed to do when rockets are being fired at it from adjacent to civilian infrastructure, when civilians are used as human shields, and when Hamas threatens to repeat as frequently as possible the atrocities of October 7?
Can I get then your reaction to your former government colleagues, because it is your party that leads the government that has presided over the decision to do it, the decision to recognise Palestine as a state?
Well, I ceased to be a member of Fine Gael in the spring of 2018 because I was firmly...
Indeed, but you soldiered with them for a long time before that.
I did, for many years. And I was firmly of the view that Fine Gael had lost its moral compass. And what this has proved was my judgment is completely right. I agree, and for many years I've advocated that we need a two-state solution. The only ultimate way of resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is two states living side by side in peace and security, cooperating economically with each other and trying to get over the dreadful past that has gone and the terrible wars that have taken place over 76 years. It's the only solution. Declaring recognition of the state of Palestine is neither a solution nor is it recognizing current reality. Why is it not a solution? Because 140 states have previously done this. It's symbolic. It's political theatre. It hasn't advanced one jot towards...
Do you see it as theatre that rewards terrorism?
I see it as theatre that will... In the Middle East, it's perceived as rewarding terrorism. Hamas thanked the government for the decision that they made. And despite all the rhetoric around it and all the misconceived good intention around it, when the Palestinian flag is disgracefully flown on Leinster House on Tuesday, it will be seen across the Middle East and by Hamas as not only a support by Ireland for terrorism, but an incentive to further terrorism. And I believe there are many people in Ireland who are really disturbed about this.
Have you said that to any of the people, any of the senior figures in Fine Gael, with undoubtedly whom you still must have some kind of contact or relationship?
I have no contact or relationship with any senior figure in Fine Gael, haven't had for some time. They've no interest in my views. What is happening is entirely misconceived because it is the equivalent, frankly. If the state of New Zealand, in the middle of the troubles in our country, had declared that they now recognised that the Republic of Ireland exercises sovereignty and governance over the 32 counties, that would not have resolved the troubles in Northern Ireland in any shape or form, had the state of New Zealand in the immediate aftermath of the dreadful Birmingham bombings or other atrocities committed by the IRA, flown some flag on the New Zealand Parliament, identified specifically with the IRA, that would have been seen as a support for terrorism. What the Irish Parliament is going to do on Tuesday is not only going to be perceived by Hamas's support for terrorism, by Islamic Jihad and Iran, which is intent on Israel's destruction and which regards those two groups as its proxies, it's going to be perceived across the world and will do Ireland enormous damage.
Can I ask you,
in places like the United States?
October 7th happened, and the immediate reaction, as I saw it, and maybe you have a different view around the world, was absolute horror at what had occurred. Then it was regarded as a terrorist atrocity. It was regarded on a per capita or scale basis as a terrorist atrocity, significantly worse than 9/11 had been given the scale of Israel. In the months and more since then, what has happened is, bar America, it appears that the global support for Israel's response to that has ebbed away into turning into resistance. Is that because everybody has gotten it wrong?
It's because of the reality of the dreadful pictures coming out of Gaza, which are terrible. And the death of civilians is terrible. But there's something worth pointing out, that within Europe and the European Union, not just America, there's a far more sophisticated insight and understanding of the complexity of what's happening. The announcement that Ireland was going to recognise the state of Palestine, and I'd very briefly to come back to that in a moment on another issue, was built around there's going to be this huge support from other EU states. Well, the truth is there are 27 EU states, including Ireland, and the only EU state that's supporting Ireland and going along with it on this issue is Spain. Not a single other EU state has said, yes, we're joining with Ireland on Tuesday or the week after.
But you can't suggest that there is a wave of global support for what Israel is doing. And you must recognise that there is significant global opposition.
I think there's a wave of global support to bring this conflict to an end. The sooner it's brought to an end, the better. The reason the conflict hasn't ended, it's because, firstly, Hamas are intent on its continuing. They think they're getting propaganda victories. Iran, which is the chief paymaster of Hamas, are dedicated to Israel's destruction. And if our government wanted to do something really serious, really constructive, to bring about an end to conflict, instead of the president denigrating the Israeli ambassador or perhaps the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the president expressing condolences on the death of the Iranian president, who was known as the Butcher of Tehran and is not particularly popular with many Iranians. Instead of all of that, they could call in the Iranian ambassador and say to Iran, Hamas is your proxy. Stop supporting them. Tell them to release the hostages. Tell them to end their genocidal intention to destroy the Israeli state. And it's time Iran agreed to a two-state solution.
Final
that
thing
would
that
be
I'm
a practical thing.
You
but
have
the
spent,
government have no interest in doing it.
You have spent a long time in the Middle East and dealing with the issues of trying to achieve peace in the Middle East. What do you believe is the future for this conflict? How long more do you think this continues? Do you see any prospect of an end?
I'm hugely pessimistic. I've over the years met most of the Israeli leading politicians, prime ministers, most of the Palestinian leading politicians, Yasser Arafat, Abu Mazen, President Abbas, the various negotiators on the Palestinian side. This conflict can end when leaders in both countries recognize, firstly, that the only viable way of resolving the conflict is the two-state solution. When there is an end to an objective to eradicate Israel on the Palestinian side. On the Palestinian side, you have two separate entities, Gaza, until recently ruled by Hamas, the West Bank, ruled by Fatah. You need a united Palestinian political leadership. They haven't had elections for over 17 years. They need to get their institutions in order. And until that happens, unfortunately, this conflict is likely in some shape or form to continue. But the current part of it would rapidly end if Hamas simply release the hostages, end the armed struggle, and and announced that they would not in the future attack the Israelis.
The Anton Savage Show with Kieran.